Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I have a big head, but I don't have that big of a head. It's always fun to put the headphones on after you take a day off and after a weekend, and somebody had used the headphones. Sue, remember when I was going to plant the camera in the office and then it just stopped? And
yeah.
I didn't want to like freak out Abby or anything. I was going to tell Abby if I was going to put the camera in the office.
So.
Well, we had all this for months. Someone I know that, and this is the most important thing going on in the world right now, my missing headphones. But for months, someone was grabbing them and we could kind of tell. And then I started, you know, tracking it, and I was going to get a little secret camera in there. And then it just stopped.
It did.
Until this weekend, and someone brought
maybe
the headphones.
Maybe they listened,
but that's okay.
And heard you talk about that.
Maybe they did. How is everyone doing here? I am refreshed and ready to go after a bit of a three-day weekend, and what a warm weekend it was.
Yeah, that was really nice. How was your golf on, what, Friday?
You know, it was pretty good, thanks to my friend Jeff Drew, who was nice enough. He's my member friend there, really. I've said this before. The only reason I'm friends with him is because he's a member of Bell Reef, but, you know, he's a pretty nice guy as well. We played with these two guys who, do you understand the whole handicapping system or
I understand
not.
That it exists. I don't understand how it works.
Right. So if I don't even know if I do, and I follow golf. Fred, do you understand how that
I
works?
Don't,
right.
No.
So let's say that you are, if you're in a tournament or something like that, the handicap plays into it. So if you're playing someone, like let's just say that Jeff, Sue's brother, who's a pretty good golfer, he's a scratch golfer, which means you shoot par, you know, or over, you know, a little over par. You're that good. So let's say that you're an 8 handicap. It doesn't necessarily mean you're shooting 80 all the time, but when they do the computations, that's your handicap. So you're given strokes when you play in different tournaments, like member guest tournaments.
To make it even.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. So if someone like me is playing with somebody that is significantly better, my handicap, where they might have to get a par and they do it in 4, I get a stroke, so then my 5 is like a par. Anyway, I don't even know if I'm explaining that well. Here's what I know, the bottom line, because I could have screwed all that up. And I don't have a handicap right now. I'm trying to start to keep one just because I want to do some of these things moving forward. But the two guys that we played with, these were guys we didn't know, they said that they were 10 handicaps. And I will just say this, that's pretty good.
Do you want one high or low?
No, you want low.
Oh.
Well, but you know what? Like, high actually helps you if...
To even it out.
Let's ignore that, because Mark's going to probably answer some of these questions wrong.
Okay.
Here's the point of the story, which should have taken 5 seconds to tell, and instead it didn't. The guys claimed that they were 10 handicaps, right? And that's pretty good. I would say this, if they're 10 handicaps... I am a scratch golfer, okay? So, and so is Jeff Drew. But we did have fun. It was a beautiful day. It was a little breezy. It was breezy down in Augusta for sure. And Dan Reardon's going to have a bit of an update here, wrapping things up from the Masters later. But I did have a good weekend. Now, I will say this as well. A couple things I have to get to here at the beginning of the show. I started to get... You know, it was my birthday on Saturday. You guys know that, right?
We've got you a cake. Did
right,
somebody
and I appreciate
eat it?
That. No, and here's why. We're going to eat it tonight. My wife's aunt's coming over. We're going to have a little birthday celebration because Auntie Kit had a birthday yesterday as well. But what was I going to say? Oh, my birthday. I wasn't too concerned on Saturday. You know, I've kind of hung up about the age thing, right?
I know.
And this is the last birthday that starts with 5. But it seems like we're going to be in World War III before we know it, so I don't know that I have to worry about any more birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
I started getting texts about this on Saturday. I still don't understand everything that's going on with Israel and Iran, but we're going to get to that with Senator Talent here this afternoon. It seems like, to me, it's a bit of a continuation of everything that started with the proxies. And you have a report that Joe Biden said to Bibi Netanyahu, we'll take the win. And I think take the win is supposed to mean, well, look, you know, the Iron Dome worked. You didn't get, you know, terribly damaged here. But now the question is, will there be a U.S. response? And we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. But it was a good weekend. But I was going to mention there were a couple things that happened in my life this weekend, two in particular, that I'm going to share with the team and with the audience in about an hour after 4 o'clock. I needed a little time on this one, Sue. Hmm. So I'm going to, and I will just say this as a tease, as they call it, that everyone will be thoroughly entertained when they hear this news.
Oh,
that's all I'm going to say.
I'm always leery when he won't tell me what is in it.
I know.
Fred, I have to say, I'm right there with you, even though I don't really have anything to do with that sort of thing.
No, but I had to get, there's sometimes, and you guys know how this is, there are things that happen, and I'll literally tell someone on the phone or even in person, they start to tell me something like, stop, don't tell me because I want the spontaneity on the air. So
sure.
That's why. I don't want to tell you guys right now. Now, the other thing, as a programming note, I just want to get that out here right now. I had an idea last week. This is not a novel concept, nor is it new to the world of radio. But I'm going to pitch it this way. And I mentioned this to Sue and Fred and Abby about a week ago. And we've got a little piece of production ready to go tomorrow where we're going to give the phone lines out. And we're going to take some calls, Sue, in the 4 o'clock hour after Sue's news. So I started thinking about this. That when we go out and we do the live broadcast and we're at the fish fries and we had a great time or the Kill Meat event or something like that, you guys get a ton of attention, deservedly so, from the audience. They want to meet you. They want to meet Fred. They want to meet Abby. And
just
sometimes they want to meet me.
Characters.
But they have curiosity, right?
Yes.
So we're going to do something. And again, this is not exactly new to the talk show world, but I've decided to do something called Ask the Show.
I think so, this is a good idea.
Right. So tomorrow afternoon, we'll set this up. Right after Sue's news, where people can call. And you don't have to call. You can do it on social media as well.
Oh, that's good.
And ask Sue a question, ask Fred a question. If you want to ask me a question, Abby a question, or just something in general that we can all kind of handle, we'll give people an opportunity. So that's within reason, of course, because there are things that maybe each of us might not want to touch on. So
that is correct. I'm not sure what, but I'm sure somebody will think of it.
Take the fifth on some of those topics, perhaps.
I'm an open book. My life is so boring.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to try that tomorrow. I just was noodling around on that just a little bit, and I thought, you know what, that'd be kind of fun to do, and we'll give the listeners an opportunity to chime in tomorrow afternoon.
All right.
So that's coming up. Let me kind of run to it. Do you have another question?
I was going to say, so think of your questions now, people.
Yeah.
If you got one.
Right. And if you don't, it's going to be a failed radio bit, and we'll never try it again.
That's right. So we'll never know anything
ever
again.
We can ask each other questions.
Yeah.
That's
well,
true.
It might come to that, Fred. We'll have to see what happens. But we're loaded up today with a bunch of different things. David Gregory, who is a former state rep. Now, he's running for the Missouri Senate in the South County area. He's suing St. Louis County and Sam Page to get seniors their tax break. You know, the St. Louis County Council passed this senior tax break a while ago, and it has not been implemented. There's financial reasons and implications, and we'll get to that lawsuit. He's an attorney and has taken on Sam Page. We'll get to that here in a second. We have former Senator Talent coming up as well. We have Sue's News. Cusumano's going to be here. The Cardinals lost 2 out of 3 in Arizona. They're in Oakland tonight. The Blues, unfortunately, I think they won this weekend, but they're out of the playoffs
right.
Anyway, right?
Yeah.
Right. One more game, but we're out of the playoffs.
SC City beat Austin 1-0 over the weekend. I missed that. You got to say nil. It's if you
do
say.
You? Oh, yeah, is that a soccer thing?
It's a state law.
I typed it up for him.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Fred, for
You're
doing
welcome.
That. I would have said it even if you said 1-0.
Okay.
I know that it's a requirement that you have to say nil. And the Battlehawks, I heard from Chris Smith over the weekend, and he was all excited. The Battlehawks won, and the Masters goes to Scottie Scheffler. What's funny about the Masters, I'll kind of bring this home again in the next hour, is I didn't watch 1 minute of the Masters yesterday. And the reason is...
Really?
Well, here's why.
Uh-oh.
The reason is the stories that I'm going to share in the 4 o'clock hour.
Boy.
I'm thinking he was in jail.
And that's not a bad guess, Fred.
Okay.
That is not a bad guess. But I will tell you that last night, my wife is still out of town. She's actually hopefully going to come back this week. But she called last night. And she goes, what'd you think of the Masters? I'm like, this was about 8:30 last night. And I said, you know what? You're not going to believe this, especially as passionate as I am about golf,
yeah.
right? I completely spaced out the Masters. Now, again, Fred, I have good reasons for this.
Right.
I will share them in the next hour. One of the things that's going on around the planet, in this country in particular, this afternoon, kind of circle back to what's happening with Israel and Iran, is there are Palestinian protests that are going on all across this country. Now, Fred, I don't know that I've heard anything. Have you heard anything here in St. Louis?
No, I've heard it in Chicago. This is closest that I've heard.
Yeah, Chicago, the Golden Gate Bridge, San Antonio, Miami, Long Beach, California. You have more of these shutdowns where people on the Golden Gate Bridge, in O'Hare in particular, there was video. Imagine you're going to the airport, right? You're in an Uber, you're in, you know, your friend's neighbor's car, your mom and dad, whatever, and you're trying to get to, you know, security checkpoint, get your luggage checked in on your flight. Well, they're strewn across the highway, blocking everyone. In some cases, in San Francisco, they were. What was the deal with the PVC pipe?
They chained themselves to PVC pipe and pushed it through the windows of their cars to make it even harder to get them out.
Yeah. Oh, so here's some of the chants in Chicago here.
Israel, bye bye Israel. You mean death to or down with? So
can we get a mark bar America?
We can get a mark bar America. Yes, we can. Mark bar America.
Mark bar America.
So they're basically saying death to America.
Yeah,
that was a
pro-Palestinian protester teaching Chicago residents how to say death to America.
And they're just going right along
right.
with
and
it.
So, and then after the attack by Iran, well, they think that's the greatest thing ever, right?
Iran has just responded about 30 minutes ago.
And they're clapping.
Yeah.
I don't know what to
do. There are reports of drones having been fired on Israel from Yemen and Iraq as well. All of the anti-war committees here, all of the Palestine support coalitions here must be ready immediately to be out in the streets and to stop the U.S. from expanding this war on Iran.
And here's the president's response.
As you know, Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel, and we mounted an unprecedented military effort to defend Israel. Together with our partners, we defeated that attack. The United States is committed to Israel's security. We're committed to a ceasefire that will bring the hostages home and preventing conflict from spreading beyond what it already has.
Okay, I only got half of that. So for those of you, it's too bad we don't have closed captioning on the radio because that's the only way to understand what the hell he's saying half the time. But we're going to get into that much more. And I do have Senator Talent coming up here. Here's what I would say about the Death to America protester. Yeah, we have freedom of speech in this country. I don't want you in this country. Go somewhere else. Go back to where you're from. Go somewhere else. We don't want you here. You want to chant death to America? Do it somewhere else, because I've got no patience for that whatsoever. That's not freedom of speech. It's just ridiculous. We're coming back with more in a moment.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, new Black Keys. I dug into that over the weekend. Ooh. I like it quite a bit. I think this is their best album since maybe the first one. So I just have to say that with some new Black Keys bumper music. Only Love Matters. See what I did there, Sue?
I did.
You know, because you're a radio
so
person.
Clever.
Everyone else is just going to have to appreciate the magic there, the disc jockey magic. We have Senator Talent coming in here in just a little bit to weigh in on the attack over the weekend from Iran on Israel. But David Gregory is here. He's a former state representative. He's running for the state Senate currently in the South County area. But he's suing Sam Page, our fearless leader in St. Louis County, over this tax break for senior citizens, which was passed but not implemented. David, how are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me.
So what's going on here? When did the council actually pass this tax break? Because it goes back a while, right?
Yeah, see, so that's a big frustration, right? It goes back to October of 2023. So, you know, almost 6 months ago, the council passed this, and they passed this with a legal right to our folks, right? A legal right for them to apply for a tax credit by June 30th. And that's the timeline we're barreling in on that we got a problem with. You can't be passing laws, giving people rights, and then giving them no way to follow through on that right.
Giving them a deadline and say, hey, you got to do it by then. But there's no path to do that, right? So what really is going on here?
Yeah, well, we can't tell, right? County council saying one thing and Sam Page is saying another, like a bunch of little kids on a playground pointing the finger. What I'm going to do with this lawsuit is I'm going to bring them all together and we're going to talk. We're going to sit down and figure out who's at fault, what needs to happen, and we're going to get this done for the seniors.
What's the sometimes we get into the weeds here on the legalities, but what's the path legally, if you can explain that in simplistic form?
The most simplistic form is that I filed what's called a writ of mandamus. It is a it is a lawsuit that says, hey, government, do your legal job. You have a legal job to make sure that seniors can apply for tax credit. You've created that right. And now you're not giving them a way to implement that right. So
yeah,
we're going
to
compel you to
make it. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
right?
Why do you pass a law and then give them no way to actually follow through with
it? But one of the reasons is that they're saying, you tell me if anything is wrong, the county says that it needs the county council to approve a bunch of money before they can, you know, they say hire staff, buy equipment, and enact the freeze. Is that the excuse that they're giving?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's an excuse. It's hard to tell. Again, you've got the executive branch saying, we'll implement it, but we don't have the money. We don't have the resources to do it. You've got to give that to us, county council. And then we've got the county council who at first seems to think we don't need to do anything because they haven't done anything else, which is a big source of frustration. But now all of a sudden lately they're talking, well, we'll give you a little bit of money, but we're not going to give you everything we think you need. And so there's a fight over what is it going to cost and what is it going to take to get this done? I'm tired of the finger pointing. A ton of seniors have reached out to me tired of the finger pointing. So I'm going to take matters in my own hand as a private litigator. I'm going to file suit. I'm going to make them do their job.
What, you guys sent out a news release on this, and there some things were a little confusing to me. So let me see if I can get clarification here. On this particular issue, I don't know if this is what the focus is, but you say revenue, I don't know if she's the director, Michelle McBride, says she believes 15 or 20 staffers might be able to handle St. Louis County's workload. Is she specifically talking for this tax break?
She's the St. Charles County revenue. She was brought in to testify. So that's just citing public testimony from last week saying, hey, you know, I was only given one employee. I've already begun the program, but I need more employees to continue the program.
Okay.
Right? So she's testifying saying, look, I think it seems reasonable to need X amount of employees. She's telling the council that.
But that's that's part of the point of contention, though, I would assume that the county council has, because that's a lot of hiring, right?
Yeah, I mean, but that's pennies compared to what our seniors deserve and are paying. That's pennies. You're talking about $1 billion budget, and you're going to balk
I mean, the question would be, if you're going to pass this, you would think that you would have the infrastructure to hire people and plan and move forward, especially if you're less than or just about 2 months away from a deadline, right?
And you got it.
Yeah.
That's the problem, and I'm just tired of waiting. We hear a lot of talk out of the council. A lot of talk out of Sam Page, but I'll tell you what, talk's cheap. We're going to bring him to the table and make him do it.
So what's, in a situation like this, you would expect somewhat of a accelerated timeline. Can you get that?
I'm going to try.
Yeah,
it's
not easy in the courts, though, is it?
No, nothing in litigation. I don't know if you know this. Nothing in litigation is fast.
Yeah.
But we can. We can compel. Judges are very sensitive to time-sensitive issues. I expect to really move the needle on this. And what my true hope would be is instead of battling it out over X amount of months of litigation, hopefully these guys get together and figure something out, right?
Right.
I'd happily drop my
lawsuit.
Well, that's
the best situation for the seniors.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. Well, keep us posted on this moving forward. Let's talk a little bit about the Senate race, because you're in this race. Explain the district
currently. Yeah, so it's pretty much all of West County. I live in Chesterfield, and so it includes all of Chesterfield, Wildwood, Baldwin, Ellisville, Town and Country, right? So pretty much west of 270, a little bit of Creve-Coeur. So West County, as most of us.
And that's the current seat is held by
Andrew Kanan.
And Andrew's going to term limit out, right?
He's term limited out. Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that this is tough. I'm going to say something, and I should know this definitively. I'm pretty sure that he is my state senator. I live in St. Louis County over by Paradise Valley in that area, not too far from 44 and 141. But I say that because it has over the years. I've been in this house for about 7 years now, and I think that the district's changed, so it gets sometimes even difficult for people who, you know, pay attention and vote because things change, and they don't know who's representing them. So that gets tough. What's your assessment of what they're doing in Jeff City right now?
You know, they're working. We thought the Senate was going to be just a complete jam, right? A complete traffic jam the whole day, the whole year because of the first few weeks. But they've seemed to have unjammed themselves a little and seem to be moving a few balls down the field. So,
would you be someone who would be in the Freedom Caucus or not? As a conservative, right? You a staunch conservative. So would you be on the Bill Eigel and all that kind of stuff or not?
The Freedom Caucus hasn't reached out to me, but I'll tell you what, my voting record is very conservative, right? And one of the things that's awesome about a senator is you have a lot of influence to be who you are. You have a lot of influence to do what you believe, and so caucusing is good, but nonetheless, I've always been a person who likes to get things done, so I'm super excited when I take the Senate.
Where would you be on this? This is one of my little kind of pet peeves on the internet. I wanted to call it internet protocol, the IP reform, the initiative petition reform. I joke that people think that they don't know. Most people hear IP reform, they don't know what the hell it is, right? So I have mixed feelings about all of that moving forward, and I don't even know where it currently stands because that gets confusing as well. Is it something that you think should be a priority of the legislature?
Oh, 100%.
The IP, why, though?
Well, because what happens with IP, without IP reform, right? We put these things on the ballot, and so many people, I have so many voters reach out to me and say, Dave, I don't even know what this means. What is this even trying to do? I don't have time to study it, right? That's why we have a republic form of a democracy where we elect our, quote, CEO to go down there and study the issues and vote for us. And so what happens with this right now is all we do is just some special interest multimillionaire billionaire says, we'll just stuff this through. We'll make it tricky enough for voters to kind of throw their hands up, and we hope our marketing ploy wins.
And that might be true, but here's my criticism is on the flip side with, did you just say CEO? We elect someone, right? Well, I don't know anyone who's a real person who's like, damn it, you guys go up there. You better get that IP reform done. They don't. I mean, I'm just being honest. They're, of course they're not, right?
I'm not knocking doors. No one's
special,
talking about it.
But you should also, we have to admit that there's special interests on the other side as well. Now, you want to talk about things that people can relate to, you know, tax breaks and other issues that come before them. But I just don't see, I think that there's a disconnect between legislators and the electorate on that particular issue. Now, having said that, David, I'm someone who's been around Missouri politics for a long time, on and off again, and I could take you back to the 1980s when I was pissed about the way that some of these things were happening then, because I think that the Constitution should be not, you know, abused or changed
absolutely
so easily. So on the general topic, I understand it. I do. And I don't know what the best path is because I think it's been way too easy to change the Constitution. And look, even the marijuana ballot issue is a perfect example. That's something I supported. I did vote for it. I didn't like the way that it was rolled out in, you know, 28 pages or whatever the hell it was. That was terrible.
Right.
Right. So right. I understand it from that perspective, but I also think this whole process gets so confusing to people because not only might you pass initiative petition reform, but then the voters of Missouri have to vote on initiative petition reform. And the people who are the supposed experts in that tell me that it's not going to pass anyway. So there's a lot of energy going into something that might not even change is maybe part of my concern.
Yeah, no, you're obviously very well versed on the topic. And those are the arguments back and forth. Those are the arguments. But at the end of the day, all you got to do, Mark, is get me to be your senator, and we're going to agree on 99.9%.
There you go, David Gregory.
You won't even need it.
Throw the website out there if you want to do that real quick. Do you have a campaign website?
Oh, yes. Gregory4Missouri.com, all spelled out.
Keep us posted on the lawsuit, too.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much.
Senator Talent's coming up next. He's going to break down the weekend between Iran and Israel. Hey, Stu, I do have confirmation from listeners that there were protests in the area, maybe even some that are ongoing right now at Wash U in St. Charles. There's one that was at Boeing in St. Charles, and all these idiots are wearing masks, too, like COVID masks. Or
That's
they
great.
Just don't want to be seen. Here is Senator John Fetterman, who has surprised a lot of us with his stance on many issues, including Israel.
I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions. Ever.
Yeah, he's kind of hardline on that. Former senator of Missouri, Jim Talent, back with us this afternoon to break this down. He's so good at these issues. How are you, Jim? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too, Mark, and I'm fine.
How much of this is on us because we did not deter it because of weakness in foreign policy? Is that an accurate take on that or not?
It's not inaccurate. You know, we're talking about spectrums of risk here. So we elevated the risk by waffling in our support for Israel over Gaza. And this leads aggressors to believe that we might not support Israel if they did something like this. Another huge mistake was telling the Iranians not to do it, you know, saying don't.
Yeah.
And then they go ahead and do it. And now not only are we not responding, as far as I can tell, but we're trying to keep the Israelis from responding. So, again, Mark, I think I've said this on the show. Other governments take seriously what our government says and does, even if we don't. So, in other words, this is a precedent now for Iran. They've seen us draw effectively a red line and not only not enforce, but try and keep the Israelis from doing so as well. So the Israelis have to respond. I think they will, but I think they will pick the time and place of their choosing. And it may not even be something that is all that visible. They have tremendous cyber capabilities, and they could go that route if they want to.
So let me ask this question, just because it gets difficult to understand all of this. Is this an escalation of what Iran has been doing through the proxies that we've talked about here now for months? Or is this something different than that?
Oh, it's definitely an escalation because for the first time, they are attacking Israel directly using Iranian forces launched, at least in part, mostly from Iran itself. So this is not something they've done in the past. They've always worked through proxies, which is actually a pretty smart strategy from their standpoint. You know, the saying in the Middle East is that the mullahs will fight to the last Arab. And of course, the Iranians are not Arabs, they're Persians. And so they've been fighting through Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Islamic Jihad, and now they attack directly. And so, yeah, it's an escalation. Israel has to impose costs and consequences, and we should be doing so as well. And there's a number of things that we could do that would really make the mullahs sit up and take notice.
Is it true that Biden, basically, his message was to Bibi, take the win?
Well, we've heard different things out of the White House, which is not unusual. But I believe that because this was a win in the sense that the attack was totally frustrated.
Right.
Also, you notice that the Saudis and the Jordanians not only helped, but we're willing to be visible in helping. So this shows Israel's not isolated in the region, right? Also, the effectiveness of the coordinated missile defense system is something that other countries in the region are looking at, and they must be saying, boy, we'd really like to have that. So that's the grounds for cooperating with Israel and also with CENTCOM. So there are opportunities that this creates. I just don't have confidence that the administration will know how to exploit them.
So this was, though, what was this, the Iron Dome that prevented this from being worse or different technology?
But coordinated, yes, it was their integrated air defense system, the heart of which is Iron Dome, but supported by intelligence assets, for example, from CENTCOM. The Jordanians scrambled fighters, which went up. They have missile defenses too, and so it was a coordinated effort because they gave Israel a lot of time. What Iran wanted to do was to set the information conditions for this so they could attack, and then hope that the Western powers would do exactly what they're doing, which is telling Israel, well, there's no real reason to respond. That's what Iran wanted. That's
yeah, well, congratulations. Yeah. They got it, right? So how does the money, you know, Biden says, the administration says, well, this had nothing to do with it. But how does the tens of billions of frozen funds that were released play into this, if any way at all, Senator?
Well, first of all, that's money they have to fund their proxies, okay? I mean, not to mention the other sanctions that we've lifted, the unfreezing of the assets. They're selling a whole lot more oil than they were ever able to do when President Trump was in office, because he basically choked that down to a trickle. And so these are the funds on which they depend. The second thing is it shows, I don't even like to call it weakness, Mark. It shows that we don't have a common sense understanding of our own interests. And because Biden keeps trying to make Iran a strategic partner when everybody in the region understands it's a strategic threat. It's the strategic threat in the region. So other countries look at us and say, they're fools. And that's not hyperbole. I mean, the Saudis, the Gulf states, Egypt, Jordan, they look at the way we deal with Iran and they say, these Americans are crazy. And that means they're unreliable. We're unreliable to them.
But where does this, you know, if Iran has, they seemingly aren't worried about our response at all. That would be an accurate take, right? They're, you know, they're trying to call bluff and they're not worried that we're going to militarily get involved in this. And that gets complicated anyway. I'm not suggesting that. But, I mean, if you're that weak, where does Iran then want to go with this? And then how are the nukes played into this? We know they have a nuclear program, but they don't necessarily have missiles that are ready to be fired, right?
Yeah, not yet. But what all the intel people say, and I don't know, I haven't been read into the top secret briefings, is they could get it pretty quickly. I think there were several things working here. I think Israel has been effective in targeting IRG leaders, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, who were involved in the October 7th attack and taking them out in Syria. Okay. And my guess is that the leaders in Iran have been hearing from the IRG saying, hey, when are you going to do something to protect us? We're getting killed out here, right? So I think that was probably part of it. I think they wanted to see what the response would be. Now, you notice, by the way, they've gotten some good intelligence on how these integrated air defenses work, because they've seen them now in operation. And so I think this is a major move for them. They haven't been willing to do this before. They're doing it now, and we really need to make certain that they don't come away from this thinking they got to win, because that will just encourage them to do it more in the future. It may seem as if a response would be escalatory, but it's actually not responding that's escalatory.
You know, there was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Former Senator Talent is with us talking about Israel and Gaza and certainly Iran and what happened over the weekend. But they said this. They said leaders in both parties should tell the truth to the American people about the new world of global threats, Russia, China, and Iran. Are we not, I mean, obviously that's something that you're aware of and we talk about it a fair amount here on this show, but is that something that needs to be further communicated to the American people? And in what form, I guess?
Well, I've wanted for years for different administrations to explain what we're doing in the world. In other words, what's our highest level strategic mission in the world? What interests are we trying to protect, and how are we going to protect them, and who are the major threats? Now, the Chinese are what the Pentagon calls the pacing threat. They're the peer competitor, the most powerful of the threats, with the greatest ambitions. Now, they're also rational actors, okay? So,
right.
So, in other words, it's really is possible, if you're intelligent and purposeful over time, to deter them. So the object should be to protect our homeland, to protect our vital national interests abroad, and to do it using means that keep us as far away from escalatory conflict as possible, which means building up our strength, you know, being prepared, and having purposeful, firm policies over time, which we have the power to do. But what we've been doing is allowing our defenses to decline, not using the tools we do have, and then this incoherence, particularly in the Middle East. I mean, Biden hasn't been as bad in China or in Eastern Europe, but in the Middle East, it's just been terrible. And this began with Obama thinking that, you know, he could make Iran into a strategic partner. It's absolute fantasy.
It's my understanding that on the weekend attack that, you know, this was actually not limited to military targets. So I guess maybe my question would be, well, if those missiles get through and there's a lot of damage, there's casualties, well, then what's the response?
Well, then the pressure is even greater on Israel to respond with a pretty devastating attack. Now, they have a list of things that they can do. I mean, they're talking about it right now. So you could attack the military infrastructure. You could attack the oil refineries. They're pretty vulnerable, actually, and that would throw the country into chaos. But I think there should be a menu of things done here. So what we could do, for example, is reimpose the sanctions, really enforce them to cut off the oil trade, refreeze this $10 billion, reimpose the embargo on selling missiles to them. And I think it'd be great to announce, henceforth, we're supporting Israel unconditionally, the way Fetterman wants to,
yeah,
in their fight against Hamas and also against Hezbollah. Now, Iran would hear that because that's the one thing they don't want. And then finally, we could, on our own motion, really go after the Houthis and Iran for what they're doing to shipping, because that's a core interest of the United States, okay, the right to move, trade, and travel through international waters. Reagan did that in the late 80s. They were pulling the same kind of thing, and he finally had enough, and our Navy launched a four-day war against Iran's Navy. It's called Operation Praying Mantis, if you want to Google it, and we sunk about a quarter of their ships.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Love I remember it. A little bit about that. Shouldn't we also assume, you know, you talk about going after the refineries, but one way or the other, that's going to affect us too. Gas prices are certainly going to be something to keep an eye on, right?
Right, exactly. And so now we're on the level of operational or tactical questions, and reasonable people can certainly disagree. I trust the Israelis, but you got to get the basic strategy right. Okay, Iran's the adversary. I mean, let's get that straight. They have regional ambitions, which are both theological, historical, and they also want to attack us, Israel, and the Saudis. We're the three of us are their big enemies. Okay, so you can't structure a security arrangement in the Middle East around a partnership with Iran. If the president would just understand that, the rest of it becomes much easier.
Yeah. Senator Towne, always great to have you on. That was a great breakdown here this afternoon, so I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, take care, Jim. It's complicated. We'll see where all this takes us, obviously, but a little...
How does Biden not get that Iran is an adversary? I can't understand if he doesn't get that or whether he thinks he can overcome it. What?
Well, I think I would say it's certainly a delicate situation, because nobody really wants us to get involved militarily and really accelerate this, because then you're putting more American citizens at risk and young men and women. So we'll see. I don't know. It gets so complicated, Sue. And one of the reasons we love Senator Towne is because he can simplify and kind of break it down. We'll come back. I have an update. Did you watch the Billy Joel thing last night?
No.
Well, people were pissed about something that happened at the end, so we'll get to that. CBS has a response. We also have an update on the Rusk case. You know, Alec Baldwin, shooting. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed has been sentenced, so I'll have that for you. And after Sue's news, a couple of significant things that happened in my life over the weekend that I will share.
I am intrigued.
The group's going to weigh in on, I'm sure. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.